At the Table with Tony is brought to you by Trafe Hustlin'. That's www.traifhustlin.com. Your home for all things barbecue.
Welcome to the third episode of the live stream edition of At the Table with Tony. I am Anthony Sheila, better known as Tony Manja. And tonight we are doing a different kind of show. So the last few nights I've done shows about Saints. We've done shows about Italian Americans in the pandemic. So tonight we're going to talk with a few of my friends that actually own restaurants or food establishments. So I'm really excited for this experience to talk to you guys and to kind of pick your brain and to kind of see what you're going through this whole craziness that we're experiencing in 2020, which we wouldn't think that this would be going on in 2020. You think by now everything we'd be like bionic people. We would be, you know, we'd be have flying cars and stuff like that, but that isn't the case. So that's enough of my monologue. Let's get to you guys. So we're being joined tonight by a friend of mine, Tim Hanley. He's from Santa Gidio Pizza, Stella, and number 12 in Ridgewood, New Jersey. We have Rocco Muriale from Muriale's Italian Kitchen in Fairmont, West Virginia. I'm sure I'm saying your name wrong, Rocco, but you could correct me when you're up. We have Mike Guerro from Gelati by Mike. He's in Montclair and Caldwell, New Jersey. We're also joined by Vincenzo Garofalo from Senso Unico in Sunnyside, Queens. And last, but certainly not least, a great man, Ciro Iovine.
Iovine.
He is the chef, owner, master pizzaiolo of Songanopola in New York City. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedules to join me here at the Table with Tony, the live stream edition. Although we're not actually live tonight because everybody and their grandmother, everybody and their nonna's on Zoom. So I wasn't able to go directly live. But again, I thank you for taking time and talking to us. So I want you guys to introduce yourself. So we'll start off with Rocco is the furthest from us in New York and New Jersey. So Rocco, give us a little bit of your background, who you are, where you're from. The show's yours.
All right. Thank you very much, guys. It's a pleasure to be here and a pleasure to be with you all. And I send my prayers to you all in the New York City, New Jersey, Connecticut area. And wish you all the best. Muriale's was started in 1969. This is our 51st year. My father and mom, my uncle and aunt, and my grandparents, my brother, cousin, myself, opened up a small 32-seat restaurant, which over the years we were able to expand. We were blessed with property around us. We seat about 250 now. Always blessed with a good takeout business from the start for a variety of reasons. So when we got to this point a few weeks ago, 10 days ago, we switched completely to takeout, curbside delivery where you don't come into the restaurant at all. I have my managers and staff delivering the food to the door, to the cars and everything. And what we've seen is I've kept the same, basically the same cooks and prep crew. What I feel at this time is the need for some type of continuity and some type of an ability to keep my team together, whether they be the servers, the managers, the cooks, the preps, and everything. And what we've been able to do thus far, even though business is off 80%, what we've been able to do is continue some type of a order with our takeout and pickup and our curbside service. So we're all getting used to this new norm. And one of the big things I've found in reading over the last several days is and I have a staff meeting before every shift and during every shift, and I try to get them to understand about the heightened anxiety level with everyone at this point in time, and to be a little bit more maybe understanding with the people and the cars and everything. But it is a new, I'm a front of the house type of guy. I am I'm more or less the person, my presence is in the dining room And I found myself the last couple of days really missing that touch.
Yeah, that's really, a restaurant, obviously the food is very important. It's one of the most important things, but also it's the personal connections you make to your customers that you really kind of miss when you have to be socially distant from them. I mean, yes. Even as Italian Americans or as Italians, we love to hug people, kiss people. We should tell you know, we love to be affectionate people, and to be socially distant is really, really tough. I mean, I'll give you a quick example. Today we went to visit my wife's grandmother. She's up in age, but we want to run to her and give her a hug. You haven't seen her in almost a month now, and you can't. You just can't. You have to wave, which is not who we are as a overall culture.
I agree.
Let's move on. Let's talk next to Vincenzo. Tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, what your restaurant, how it's doing in these times.
Hi everybody, I'm Vincenzo Garofalo. I'm the chef owner of Senso Unico restaurant in Sunnyside, New York, Queens. I was born and raised in Italy and moved to the States. I work for many times with the Maccioni family, Le Cirque Pierre Hotel. And then in 2017, I opened Senso Unico with my wife here in Sunnyside. November 2017, and now I change a little bit here. We are an Italian restaurant. I change now. We are doing mostly family package for the people. You know, they are at home. I cut down the price a little bit. I'm start to selling like grocery stuff. Bread, we make bread, pizza dough, this kind of thing. And we just trying, our best to keep stay open and to keep my employee here. And it's a tough time. Tell you the truth, you know, like Rocco say, I miss, we are a neighbor restaurant. So me and my wife, most of our customers are from the neighbor. We are a kind of friends, you know, I miss, you know, even... I'm cooking the back, but I'm a lot on the dining room. So, you know, it's tough. It's tough. We just keep trying our best to new idea to do something and keep going.
Yeah, that's the thing, is to try to reinvent who you are. I mean, you're established as a restaurant. You know, Rocco, you've been around for how many years was it again? 51 years. I mean, you know, you have this rapport with your customers, and then in one night, literally, I mean, the whole world changes. So I want to talk a little bit to Mike Guerra from Gelati by Mike. And I know, Mike, you're really like you're really getting out there. You're really helping the people too. So it isn't just, you know, obviously you're making your amazing gelato, but you're also doing a lot of community outreach. You can talk a little bit about yourself, obviously, but also give us a little bit about what else you're doing. I see you're featured in, what was it, NorthJersey.com just yesterday, today?
Yeah, so my name is Mike Guerra, and I'm actually the number one gelato chef in North America, recognized in Italy. In Italy, I think I'm recognized as number seven in the world right now. So, you know, I'm one of the best around that's doing it. And what we decided was, you know, if we're being impacted and we're one of the, you know, the top end shops in our area, we could imagine how other businesses and people in the area were feeling. So we kind of did like a two-pronged thing. We started contacting our local representatives and making sure that small business owners were included in the stimulus packages. So the first bill that went out didn't include people that were self-employed, didn't include people that, you know, did this for a living like we did. And so through calling our representatives and doing stuff like that, we got included. There was a lot of restaurants that but then on the community level, we've been giving away. So we made a decision when this quarantine started to tell our suppliers, you know, send us the same amount of milk, the same cream and eggs every week, and everything that we can't use, we're going to donate to the seniors in the area. So we just kept buying up supplies. We made a decision early on, we're not going to pay our rent. We're going to, you know, we're going to string along, and every dollar we make in excess of what we need to operate, we're just going to donate and give back. And so NorthJersey.com did a nice article about us. We teamed up with a local soup kitchen. And so we sent our delivery vans out to start, you know, delivering groceries over the weekend. Me and my wife have been doing it personally for the last couple of weeks. And so now our employees are getting involved. And so it's, you know, it's been definitely a change. Luckily we, you know, we've been in business now in Caldwell for 19 years. I'm the second owner. I've been doing this for 16. And then I took over as the owner with my wife about 7 years ago. We opened up two additional shops, one in Montclair, and then there's another one in Randolph as well. So, you know, very quick, within 24 hours of this thing happening, we set up an online apparatus where people could go on and place delivery orders. And, you know, we were doing delivery and pickup. And so now we're starting a program tomorrow. We're actually getting interviewed by ABC. And what we're going to do is like buy a pint, give a pint. So we want to encourage people that can afford to do it to pick up, you know, a pint of ice cream and buy another one for maybe somebody in need. And we will match every pint that the customers buy because, you know, ice cream and gelato is not a necessity. People are trying to put, you know, food on the table, and in our area, we're very blessed. And so we hope that people in the suburban part of Essex County will help, you know, provide ice cream for people that are in harder impacted areas like Newark. And so, you know, we're going to keep going. And you know, it's just crazy because every day, right, the rules of this kind of change a little bit. So every day it's like a new plan, a new hours of operation, new measures that we're taking. And so we just are trying to keep up.
I think as of tonight, they actually extended the social distancing to April 20th now. So, yeah. Or April 30th. I mean, whatever. It's still crazy. I mean, to think again, I mean, this is going to, I mean, I pray it doesn't impact it, the restaurant industry forever, but I know it will for maybe for a couple of years, this will have an impact on the restaurant industry. So, yeah. So with that, I want to move over to Ken for a few minutes to Tim. Tim, tell us a little bit about who you are, your restaurant. And I know that you actually decided to take some time off, take a week, at least a week off, and I guess reevaluate. So just kind of explain, you know, again, who you are, you know. And
Yeah. So my name is Tim Hanley. I have three restaurants all located in Ridgewood, New Jersey. One is a Neapolitan pizzeria called Sant'Egidio. The other is Stella. It's like a pastaria Italian cafe. And the third place is a little speakeasy hip-hop oyster bar called Number 12. Look, man, 2 weeks ago when this information kind of all came out, we just, like everybody else, right, we just went into scramble mode to figure out how to make it work, how to keep the staff going, how to keep serving the community, and how to keep, you know, keep the dough rolling in and rolling out, you know. So pizza dough rolling out and dough rolling in. And at the end of the day, we had a great week. 2 weeks ago, we had a great week. We closed down Number 12, which, I mean, how are you going to do takeout oysters, you know? I mean, it's not a concept that works. So we staffed up our kitchen at Stella, and then across the street at the Pizzeria Sant'Egidio, we full staff. We're fortunate that when we kind of built the place, we built the front windows on hinges. So our whole storefront basically opens up to the outside. And that allowed us to create this curbside takeout window. And it worked out great for us for the first week. You know, I spent the whole day and night, Monday, our dark day, building out a back end of the website to be able to do online ordering in like, you know, one night. Schooled the staff on how we're going to handle it. I mean, it was a zoo, man. And I'm sure like all these guys can relate. You're trying to basically develop a new restaurant concept in one day is basically what you're doing. You know, you have one day to create a new restaurant concept. The food, the menu is adaptable enough to make it work at the pizzeria. The pastaria, the same, you know, we did the pasta to go. So we adapted to make it work. But the workflow was so vastly different that it was really demanding on the staff. And I gotta say, man, they did a phenomenal job adapting to the circumstances. And we had a great week at both restaurants. We did really well. You know, customers came out to show love and support, which is great. And one of the issues being that, you know, a standard dinner service runs from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. So you got 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, you got 6 hours for a dinner service to pump out X number of pizzas, you know, on a standard night. Doing takeout and curbside pickup, your window of customers, everybody wants everything between 6 and 7:30. So now your night, instead of 5 to 11, is like everybody's showing up 6 o'clock to 7:30. You got an hour and a half to pump out the same amount of food that you would typically take 6 hours to pump out of your kitchen. And it's crazy. It's absolute mayhem. My staff did great. I was really proud of them. The first Friday night was a zoo. I felt terrible. I had to go out front 8 o'clock at night. We had 30 people outside of the restaurant on the sidewalks. Everyone 6 feet away from one another. Good social distance. And I had to go out front because we ran out of dough. I had people who were waiting an hour for pizza. And my chef turned to me and said, "Tim, I got bad news." "What's the bad news?" "We don't have time for bad news. Keep making pizzas. We got a lot of people. I got only 12 more dough balls." I mean, wow. You got to be kidding me. I got 30 people outside that have been waiting 1 hour for their food. So I went outside. It was. I had to make a big apology. This was two Fridays ago. And I did it in such a way. I said, "Listen, whoever has kids at home, we're going to send food home for the kids first before anybody else."
Wow.
So as soon as you mention the kids, you know, you hope that you touch the heartstrings of some of the people. And Saturday night went a lot better than Friday night. We got systems in place. Everything was flowing and working. Sunday service went very well. Last week, Monday, I made the decision to close all the restaurants. It was a rather abrupt decision, but given the nature of what was unfolding, and a desire, you know, is really bad here in Bergen County in New Jersey. The hospitals are overwhelmed. We just want to be part of the solution. And I didn't feel like I was in a position to make an educated decision on like what was the best way to serve the community in these times. So I just said, for now, I need to close for a week and just reassess. And that's kind of where I'm at now. I don't know what we're going to do next week. You know, like, it's Sunday. Tuesday, I still haven't made up my mind whether I'm opening the doors this Tuesday or not. You know, I may give it one more week just to let things play out a little bit more. Let the staff kind of quarantine themselves as well. Make sure nobody's sick in their own homes and tend to their own families and their own kids. I mean, but that presents its own struggles of how do you pay everybody. So, yeah, man, we're in a crazy time right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, like I said, this is unprecedented. I mean, I've mentioned this in a couple of other live streams that I've done that. I don't even know. I mean, I don't even know what else this can compare to. I mean, maybe to a certain extent, 9/11, because everything was shut down for, you know, maybe a week or two, but things then slowly went back to normal. This, you're literally shutting down like the center of the world. That's New York. New York is the center of the world. You're literally shutting it down for maybe a month or more. So I want to go a little bit into talk to Chito now. Chito, he has a restaurant. He's in you're in New York City. You're in the Village. So Chito, tell us a little bit about you. Also decided to close the restaurant for a little while, correct?
Yes, I closed almost 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so Chito,
my name is Chito Iovine. I'm from Napoli. I moving here 10 years ago. I meeting Tim 10 years ago too. You remember Tim in San Mateo? San Mateo opened my way in America, and I take care of this, you know, and I tell hello to Chito and Fabio Casella. For me, it's very important. And you know, nothing, guys. I'm meeting my wife, and with my wife 5 years ago, I opened this very little, small restaurant, a pizzeria. And nothing, guys. Work 3 years, 7 to 7. My wife 2 years, 7 to 7 for grow up. And nothing. 2 weeks ago, I closed the restaurant, and I'm feeling like very, you know, very sad. My pizza chef Gennaro is a Mexican guy, you know very well, Tony, Tim too. This guy cried, man. This guy cried. Tell, oh my God, why, you know, why? What's going on? I tell, let's say, guys, go home, save, go save. When the president or the government tell, you know, everybody, guys, came back like before I open, because I like to kill myself, my family. I have 3 children now, coming my 4th one. You know, and for me, it's like a responsibility. Let's say, guys, and I'm very, I don't know what's going on later. After when you need to open restaurant, a lot of people, you know, like maybe it's scared because I have a very small place. And, you know, Tim, you know, Vincenzo know very well too. Because I know the father-in-law to Vincenzo is an amazing guy. What's your name? What's your name, your father-in-law? Enzo. Hi. Huh?
Hi.
Mike, guys. Mike is amazing, guys. Let's say, guys, I don't know what's going on. I'm just ready for come back and pray for the world because, you know, the world needs help from the Lord.
We definitely need help. And, you know, but that's the thing. I mean, because, again, obviously these bigger restaurants or the restaurants that have been around for a long time, they might have an easier chance of, you know, I guess more of the chain restaurants would have an easier chance to get back on their feet faster because they could have an influx of cash flow. Whereas a lot of you guys who are the smaller mom and pop shops, it's going to take a little bit more oomph to get back on your feet. And that to me breaks my heart because I know all of you guys bust your butts to put out an amazing product and to now have it, you know, to have to change literally your whole menu or your whole business plan, like in the snap of a finger, I don't want a restaurant, but it hurts me too to see you guys have to go through this as well. Because if you know me, I eat out a lot. I got the Bonzette. So I love to support, you know, the restaurants, and, you know. So I thank you guys for making the sacrifices for doing what you're doing. I want to talk a little bit to Rocco. So Rocco is really the only one that's not from our area, from the New York metropolitan area. And you say to yourself, West Virginia, that doesn't sound like a very Italian area. But Rocco, explain to us how many – West Virginia has a huge Italian population.
Very, very much so. Back in the early 1900s, there was a big influx into West Virginia to work in the mines, to work in the railroads, to work in stonemasonry, street repair. All four of my grandparents came from southern Italy, San Giovanni in Fiora, which is a village in about three and a half hours south of Naples, more of a mountain village and everything. It's got about 15,000 people there now. I still have friends and family there. I've visited Adair several times over the last few years. But when they came here, they got involved in different work. My one grandfather worked in the mines for one day and said, that's enough. Got into being a butcher's apprentice. One thing led to another. My father got involved. My uncle got involved, and they ended up opening up the restaurant. The thing that makes this state interesting is we only have about 1.8 million people in it. To give you an example, Allegheny County, Pittsburgh County, which is an hour and a half north of us, has more people than we have in the whole state.
Wow.
The one thing that I've noticed in this over the last week or two, watching what has happened in Italy over the last month, and what's happening in New York City, the population in this state is very spread out. The populations in Italy, whether it be in the small villages or in Rome, are very clustered. You have a lot of people that live in apartment buildings, condo buildings. Even in the southern part of the country, you have that close effect. In this state, we only have so far less than 125 people that have been diagnosed. The vast majority of people live not in apartment buildings or condo buildings, but live more spread out. What the concentration has been in this area as far as Italians, probably at one point in time, I consider our market about 200,000 people in a tri-city area that includes West Virginia University, Fairmont State University. So those two universities have a total of about 40,000 students, which is around 10 to 20 minutes away from us. So there's a big infusion of that in the area. Plus, the FBI fingerprinting division is 20 minutes away from us. So there's been a big emphasis on federal government jobs, as well as the university and high-tech jobs. In the county that we're in, we haven't had a mine. In the early 1980s, there was probably 24, 25 mines open. Right at the present time, we have no mines operating in this area. So it has had a heavy influence of Southern Italian cooking. We consider ourselves an old school Southern Italian restaurant. We're a red sauce restaurant. What we serve a variety of things, but we emphasize our red sauce items and our pizzas. So that's been the bulk of our takeouts the last couple of weeks. And we hope it continues. But the big thing is trying to stay connected, trying not to get off the people's radar screen, and trying to fulfill whatever mission that we can, whether it be with our union mission, our soup operas, our high schools. So we're trying to get involved as much as possible.
And actually, am I mistaken to say that that the movie The Feast of the Seven Fish was filmed in your town?
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, that was a fun movie.
You got to see it.
Yeah. Actually, I saw the day it came out. I got it on the live stream thing on like Netflix or whatever it was. The movie
Very
was
good.
Awesome. Because actually, Very it's funny.
Good.
Like Joey Pantoliano, he's a Hoboken
yes.
guy.
Yes.
So it's funny how they, you know, again, you wouldn't think, you know, you don't think West. I mean, really, America is huge. There's a lot between New York and California, and the Italians built a lot of it.
Agree.
Right? I mean, you think about what the Italians did. I mean, I know we're kind of getting a little bit off topic, but I know that also, like, Tim, you have a great story about how you're, I know this is probably a whole episode to talk about it, but how Sant'Egidio, which is actually a saint, he's a Roman Catholic, yeah. canonized saint, how that saint has a strong connection to your family.
Yeah, Sant'Egidio is from Taranto, Italy. You know, one of the towns in Puglia down in the south, the heel of the boot. And Sant'Egidio lived, so he was born in Taranto, but lived his life as a Franciscan monk in Naples, in Napoli, the hometown of Ciruzzo. And I don't know if he made pizza, Cito, but he lived in Italy, in Naples, nonetheless. Probably
the
he
bread.
Made pizza, too.
Make a bread.
So he was a simple guy, porter, worked the door in the 1700s, but my the short story is my great-grandfather, whose name was also Egidio Trissolini, when he was 7 years old, he was run over by a horse and carriage in his hometown, Palagiano, which is close to Taranto, in the region of Taranto, close to the city of Taranto. And when he was run over by the horse and carriage, everybody thought he was dead in the street. He got up and walked home, and he told his mother that a man in a brown robe walked him home. And a few years later, he saw the picture of the Franciscan saint in the church in Taranto. And he told his mom, that's the guy that walked me home that day.
Wow.
And she said, Egidio, this guy lived 200 years ago. He said, Mom, it's the guy that walked me home.
Wow.
So
great story.
He continued to see this man at different points in his life. And the Sant'Egidio told him that if he wants to help him, that he would like to heal many people. So he took a few trips over his life to America, cultivated a devotion to this saint, and you know, encouraging the faith of the people that God can heal any ailments, any sickness that they have if they trust in him, and if they ask Sant'Egidio also to pray for them. And so that's the story of Sant'Egidio, and that's why my family has a great devotion to him, you know, because of this reason. And Egidio, my great-grandfather, was the first of my family to come to America and, you know, carried this devotion to this saint to the Italian-American immigrant communities of New York and New Jersey. So people even come to the restaurant, like, that are older folks, and they say, when they see the name, they say, they see my uncle, who's my partner in the business. His last name is Trissolini, and they see the name and they say, "Oh my God, this is maybe the family of Egidio." They come and they tell us the stories when they prayed with my great grandfather, and their mother, for example, was healed from cancer or something like that. And they do all this while sitting there eating a pizza in the restaurant. Great, man.
Now,
wow, very good.
If I'm not mistaken, Tim, you said that when there was actually a statue, right? Or there was a big devotion in the area around Hell's Kitchen, right?
Yeah, there the Church of Santa Chiara was actually right where the Lincoln Tunnel was built. And right where the Lincoln Tunnel came out in New York, there was a church there, Santa Chiara, which they knocked down when they built the tunnel. And in that church, there was a statue that my great-grandfather brought here from Italy of Sant'Egidio. I can't find the statue anywhere. I've tried to find, because when they knocked down the church, they had to do something with the statue. Yeah, that statue is somewhere in some church basement, covered in an old checkered red and white tablecloth somewhere. We're gonna have to
get our people on that one. We gotta find it, man.
It's gotta be somewhere, you know. There was a big community, you know, that was born out of that.
Now, Vincenzo, where is your family from? Where are you from in Italy?
Avellino is like half hour away from Naples.
But Avellino, or outside of Avellino?
Yeah, I grew up in Avellino. My parents are from Paternopoli. It's a little town of 1,000 people.
Is it like close to Montella or no?
Yes, close to Montella. They're still living there, all my family.
In Montella or in Avellino?
In Paternopoli.
Paternopoli. Now, now your restaurant, Senso Unico, what does that mean for the people that don't know?
So basically, Senso Unico in Italian means one way. It's like the sign. But for us, is my wife came out with this name when we were on the plane back to Italy 3 years ago. She was thinking, like, you know, the one way for us as a family is stay, you know, all together, eating at home, especially on Sunday night, and wine, you know, family. And that's how we treat our customers here. So we would. I have a sign inside my restaurant is "Entri come amici, vai come famiglia." Like I say, it's a restaurant neighbor restaurant. So that's the environment we create here.
Do you make pizza? Do you make more Neapolitan style dishes? Like, what is like your specialty?
No, we don't make pizza here. Is mostly we do pasta. Most of my pasta is fresh here. And I'm doing like a kind of flat bread we call schiacciata. It's a focaccia. It's really thin. And we have the classic appetizer, fried calamari, you know, burrata, carpaccio di carne. I'm playing a lot of the pasta, you know, on the sauces. Now we have like a paste I make with 5 different nuts. And of course, my signature dish is the fusilli avellinesi, you know, the kind of particular shape of fusilli, which we serve with truffle and sausage. So where I come from, we have a lot. And we do a mix. We do a lot of special. I change the menu 2-3 times a year, depending on the season. And
Now let me ask you, Mike.
Guys, Vincenzo is a very good chef, eh? Very good chef, guys.
Mike, I have to ask you, Mike, how did you get involved in gelato? Is it in your family? Is it in your blood, or is it something that you love?
So my family's actually from Avellino as well. My last name, Barriero, 90% of them in the world come from Avellino, the city part of Avellino itself. And so my family's all pizza makers. So I grew up making pizza and cooking with my grandmother. And there's a famous shop where we grew up, Patterson, called Gelotti. And a lot of Americans always grew up saying gelati. So they were actually an American ice cream shop. And maybe 12 years into them opening, people said, you know, they mispronounced the word and said, well, where's the gelato? Where's the gelati? Not knowing that it was actually gelotti. So I grew up working there. I worked there for 16 years Just I first started washing buckets. Then I hated doing it. I hate manual labor. And I grew up cooking, so I just wanted to learn how to make gelato and ice cream. So I started learning when I was about 16 years old. And I worked there for many years. But as we know, you know, there's really not a big future in the food business unless you, you know, open your own place. So I went when they had one of their shops in Caldwell that went out of business. My wife and I went and we took it over. At the time, I was 23 and she was 19. And the place was, you know, failing. It closed down. And so we made sure that the lights stayed on and we made a deal with the landlord. So they closed one day and the next day we reopened. And so we had a partnership with Gelotti for many years. But then I started doing these competitions and we started, you know, doing a Food Network and all these different, you know, TV stations. And I won this really big award. And at that point, you know, it was just too hard to coexist because you had this famous brand that made its bread and butter doing one thing. And then our concept in Essex County was completely different. And so we branched off. We started Gelati by Mike last year. And so we changed over the Caldwell, Montclair, and Randolph shop. And, you know, it's been a lot of so, like, I call myself an American gelato chef because I was trained here. I learned here. And back when I was first learning, there wasn't a lot of resources. Even now, there's not a lot of gelato shops around New York, New Jersey. There's a few, but a lot of them use like pre-made stuff or they're buying it from Bindi or one of these distributors. So at the time, there's a company called Pregel in Italy, which I'm sure Vincenzo and Gito know. I'm sure Tim and Rocco also know, but Pregel had these YouTube videos. So like maybe 10 years ago, I started watching like YouTube videos. And then like even one of the first videos on YouTube making gelato was the Tony Mangia a video with Giorgio Canar. So me and Giorgio grew up, we grew up together working at Gelotti in Patterson. Giorgio was a manager. I was the stupid kid washing the buckets when he was making gelato. And so he was the one that actually helped me and gave me the money to save Caldwell. It was at the time after he had finished doing Sotto Zero. And he was like, you know, I'm out of the business, but I really believe in you. And I think you could resurrect it. But, you know, I tried to do something that was different than all the gelato shops that came before me. Everybody was trying to say, well, I'm an Italian, I'm better, gelato's better than ice cream. And I think a lot of Americans didn't buy into that concept. You know, even when I go to gelato festival and compete, their story is, you know, I'm from Italy and I grew up in you know, Pozzallo or Catania and I know gelato better than everyone else. And Americans just care about quality and taste. You know, they don't want to hear about how you're better than them. They want you to show them. And that's why we've had a lot of success. Not only do we go out against the top chefs from Italy and Canada, but we go out and we win almost every award because we understand the American market. We use the techniques. What the Italians do is great. You know, it's in my blood. I love the technique, but I just think that there's a way of catering to the American market, and that's what makes us unique. So when I say the word gelato or gelati, I actually mean the real meaning of it, which means frozen. So we actually specialize in every single kind of frozen dessert. It's not just gelato or ice cream. We make 19 different kinds of desserts. We have over 100 flavors every single day, and we specialize in cakes, you know, take-home novelties and stuff like that. And, you know, just quickly, I wanted to actually make a comment on what you said before, saying that, you know, a lot of these mom-and-pop shops are not going to make it, and maybe the old-school people can make it. I actually think that it's going to be, you know, the same on both levels, because I see a lot of, you know, older generation Italian-Americans that their kids don't want to take over anymore, right? They don't want to be in the family business. They started the restaurant, so now they have a good life. So they want to go to college and do whatever. So I think you're going to find that in both levels that there's going to be, you know, people that go out, you know. And I think one of the things that we've tried to do in our area through the Chambers of Commerce is say, you know, let's get some of us younger, you know, kids to maybe go to these restaurants and show them how to get their 100-year-old restaurant online. Let's show them how to get their menu, you know, online, because we do want to save them. And, you know, you also see this change. You know, I remember even Tony shared an article a couple weeks ago that our generation, the millennials, are bringing back, you know, the Sunday dinner, because in a lot of areas like mine, the pork stores, the Salimania shops, they all close down because ShopRite starts making mozzarella and they start making, you know, and Italians are very frugal. So they end up beating out their own people and having these smaller shops close down. So even us, what we decided to do is we're going to do all of our grocery shopping at the pork store. We're going to go to all these little delis and get stuff. I mean, you're going to pay an extra dollar a pound, but, you know, these places are important. And, you know, once these places start getting eliminated, you know, like there's a, like my, I have my friend Cesare that works for Pregel. He lives in Manhattan. He said there's only three shops that he can get guanciale to make his, you know, to make a carbonara or, you know, Matriana. So, you know, these products start getting lost. These dishes start getting lost. And so since our generation is the one reviving it, like me and my wife already talked and said, you know, hey, if the pork store in the area can't make it, let's buy it. Let's keep it alive, because it's not about making money. It's just about keeping like those traditions alive, because once they're gone, that's it, you know?
Well, actually, I heard, this is only a rumor, that I heard that there's a local pork store that might be going out of business. So yeah. I'll talk to you on the side about that.
Yeah, but talk to me about that.
But Chito, let me ask you now, Chito, what is your name of your restaurant is Song Annapolis. So what does that mean?
Bro, you don't understand. 5 years ago, before I opened, me and my wife sit in the bed. Okay, the restaurant is almost ready. And the name, my wife said, Song Annapolis. That's it. Song Annapolis, I'm from Naples. That's it. I'm from Naples, and when you come in my place, you feeling Naples.
Oh, yeah. It's like you need a passport.
The atmosphere.
You need a passport. You almost need a passport to come.
They got customs at the front door. You got to check with the customs.
I have immigration, brother.
But also, Chito, at your restaurant, you obviously are known for your pizza, but you make some awesome dynamite pasta dishes.
Traditional one.
Your Genovese is the best.
Thank you, brother.
And nobody knows what that. No, everybody thinks Genovese. They think like pesto. No. I don't know. Explain what a true Genovese sauce is.
Genovese is like a Ville onion ragu, guys, and cooking for 5-6 hours. Let's say, it's amazing, guys. You need to try it. And I buy the meat from the Pino. Pino is almost 200 here. Small, you know, Pino meat, guys. Tony, you know the guy next to the church, Sant' Anthony Church.
What was the name of it?
Pino meat.
Pino. It sounds familiar.
Unbelievable. This guy sell very good meat, and it's very good. You know, like Mike tell. When you know, I remember my mom tell me, "Hey, go to the meat guy. Tell you my son, I need this, and this." And meet the guy. Oh, you do have the son from. Oh my God, your mom. My mom is a very strong woman, guys. this is guys. I'm from seven, four sister and three brother. I'm from nothing, and. For me right now, I'm feeling a little bit like, you know, sad for this situation. But when you're from nothing, you don't have a problem, because you came back with a lot of power. I know. I'm big, guys. I need to go. You know, I need to start diet, but forget about it. Mike make a very good thing. I think everybody need to make, because, you know, in Naples, a year ago, started the come si dice, il caffè pagato, you know. Enzo, come si dice?
Che cosa?
Il caffè pagato. Come si dice?
Somebody pay the coffee.
Yeah, somebody
pay it forward.
Yeah. Guys, this is amazing. This is very good. And after the second world, come si dice? Guerra mondiale, là.
World War II.
Start with the pizza too. You eat pizza now and pay 88 in 1 week. This is crazy, guys. But it's nice, you know, because a lot of people sometimes don't have money for it, and forget about it. If I see the people don't have money and don't use, like, you know, drug, alcohol, because I like help the people. Like Tim too is a very amazing guy too. And I offer the food. I don't care. Pasta, pizza for me, no cost, like, you know, nothing. But it's important, like Mike say, and Vincenzo say, guys, like everybody, because everybody like use the best ingredient. And when you eat something, you need the feeling like, okay, this pizza is from Naples, you need the feeling Naples. This pizza is from Rome, like a carbonara. Because, you know, in Rome, if you put heavy cream in the carbonara, people kill you, you know? I like the name from Vincenzo too, Senso Unico, man.
Thank you.
Senso Unico è, come si dice, Senso Unico, che è una cosa importante. Non ci stanno due sensi. Un senso, si mangia bene e basta. And so translate for me, please.
It's only one way.
Yeah, that's good way to eat. Because, you know, sometimes people like to try, oh, I like chicken, the pizza. Hey, sorry, sir. You know, I'm so sorry. Maybe if you go next block, you know, you have a block. The name is like Papa Joe, something like that. Go over there. No worry. The pizza is very good, too. I try. It's good. I like it. But, you know, here, I like to say street, you know, with the best ingredients directly from Italy. And that's it. This is my dream. But my dream is this.
What is your dream?
Take my city everywhere in the world. Now I'm in New York. I like to take Naples here. No, this is my dream. And it's almost, you know, just a vacation, but I'm trouble.
I was close to do it.
But I know. Now came back to the zero, man.
No. Yeah. We're going to come back stronger. We're going to come back stronger.
Yeah. I tell my employer too. Guys, when I came back stronger because... And so that's late for me.
This we start the world. Business back.
After. Start the world, man. It's very hard, you know?
But guys, but go ahead. I'm sorry, Chiro. Go ahead.
No, I like the idea. My idea. And I think I started to, me too, with the pizza, man. It's very good.
That's a great, maybe it's a
you,
great idea.
Maybe,
great
maybe idea. You make a small pizza, you sell maybe small pizza. Small $5, let's say. It's not expensive, you know? But small, not like large, because the ingredient is very expensive, guys. Trump grow up.
Yeah,
with,
yeah.
You know, with a lot of cheese. A little bit oil. No, it's important. It's nice, guys. This is very nice. Congratulations, man. You remember where you're from, man. Exactly. Very good. Very good.
And that I think is important too, is to know that where we came from, know where we're going. It's such an important it's an important part of who we are as Italians and Italian Americans that we don't forget the past, and that we remember all the sacrifices, because our families made lots of sacrifices to be where we are today. I mean, whether you're in a restaurant, whether you're a lawyer, if your parents came, you know, from even you guys, Chiro, Enzo, coming to America, you know. Leaving what you knew behind to start a new life here, I you guys are amazing. And when this is all over, we need to have like a big party.
Yeah,
need to have a big party, and we need to go down to West Virginia too. We got to visit Rocco.
Please,
yeah,
sure,
yeah. Go to Rocco too. Yeah, Rocco.
Yes,
every time in New York, visit everybody.
The next time.
But Jen,
sounds like Rocco's the only one that can fit us all if it's going to be a big party.
And another thing, after this, the people need to say more friendly or together, you know. This is important, or together, because sometimes you know people are like competition, but life is no competition. Everybody's like the same, you know.
Yeah.
I think, come si dice, traduci per me questo perché è importante.
Vai, va.
Now Vincenzo translate for me, guys, sorry. Questa cosa è importante perché ti fa capire tante cose che veramente noi non siamo niente, quindi siamo tutti uguali e dovremmo essere tutti uniti per veramente fare dei progetti eccezionali insieme.
So this thing is really important because make you understand we are just a human being. We have to stay all together and as a friend and don't complain about everybody, each other. And,
yeah, tell too much.
Stay as a friend.
Sometimes people tell too much, guys. Too much.
We all bleed, right? We all bleed red. So, I mean, it's we're all human.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you so very much for taking time out of your schedules to come on At the Table with Tony live stream edition. Again, once this is over, I want to bring my show back on the road again. Obviously, we're all in quarantine, so I can't do what I'm used to, which is going to the place and getting the full history of the restaurant, of the chef. But when this is over, I have to make it a point to come and visit all of you guys, from Rocco to Mike, of course, Tim, Enzo, and Chiro. I want to hear your full story. I want to know about you guys. I want to know more about your history. So that's my goal, God willing. When this is all over, that I'll be able to get back on the road again and doing my thing. I mean, I love doing this stuff, But again, I love to be with people. I love to, you know, give you a hug and say, you know, this is, eat your food and just really experience it. Because life is about experience. And this is an experience. We're experiencing something we never experienced before. But still, I mean, I think that it's important that, like you said, you know, is to stick together as a family. A family of brothers, of humans, of, you know, it's an important thing.
Bro, I'm meeting a team 10 years ago, and for me, team is my best friend, like American friend. Team is amazing guy. Not because he's here in line with me, but I'm meeting him in San Mateo, bro. I remember like 10 years ago, like today, when I'm meeting team. You know, when you feeling like friendly and friend. And my dream, open something with team, one pizzeria with team, because team is a very good guy. You need to go to San Diego, guys. This guy have a big guard.
Well, guys, again, I want to thank you so much. And again, this has been the live stream edition of At the Table with Tony. I want to thank Enzo. I want to thank Tim, Chiro. I want to thank Rocco. I want to thank Mike for taking time out, coming on the show. Thank you guys so very much. Keep up the amazing work, and I hope to see you in person very soon.
God bless.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Ciao.
At the Table with Tony would like to thank its sponsors: Rocco Muriale, Rob Quick, Joseph Cirillo, Raymond Guarini, Tom Gilmore, Oli G, Peter Ziza, Brian McGuire, Peter Ferreira, Rich Ottenstrauer, Anna Mavrianos, Antonio Pepinella, Anthony Ferraro, Sandra and Bob LaMotta, Mike Guero, The Italian Enclaves Historical Society,